On the show today, we have Children's Miracle Network Hospital's John Locke giving us the milestones, challenges, and goals, and how credit unions can continue to help out. Let's talk about kind of the milestones that are going on at Children's Miracle Network Hospitals this year, and in particular, the credit union partnership with the network. I mean, can you give us a little bit more what's going on here?
Yeah, we had a great year with our credit union partnership last year, raising over $11 million. It was an 8% increase over the prior year, and that's significant when you look at the fact that charity in general last year grew by 4.8%. So giving at credit unions and through credit unions was more than double the national giving rate, and that's significant. And another milestone is with that 11.3 or 4 million, I think that it was last year, in totality, our credit unions have crossed the $150 million plus threshold.
Goodness gracious.
And that ranks third all time with all of the partnerships that we have been raising money with. So that's really a remarkable achievement, I think, by all of our friends at the credit unions.
Indeed, indeed. We know how to step up when it comes to this type of stuff.
Absolutely.
And I was just telling a friend of mine today, I was at the NAFQ Growth Conference earlier today, and I was telling him that, you know, how much credit unions have raised over the years for the network and stuff. And we're like right behind, is it Walmart and Costco that we're behind?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty darn good company.
It is, because those are huge companies with millions of customers on a daily basis mm-hmm. that are going through their registers. And they have a very unique situation where they can ask all those folks for donations, and it's not quite as easy when you're a credit union.
Got
so
that right.
That's a remarkable feat for our credit unions to be so resourceful and powerful in the fundraising.
Indeed, indeed. And so now, how are these funds used at the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals?
Well, I think one of the things that's always good to remind everybody is that those funds all stay local, mm-hmm. and they go directly to the hospital in the territory where they're raised. And those funds are used for a host of different things. One of the things that our hospitals love about the money they receive from all of our partners is that it's unrestricted. It doesn't come with anything attached to it in terms of what it has to be spent on. And that's important because most of the money that hospitals receive is restricted. It has to go to a certain need by the donor. And quite often that's not necessarily where the real need is within the hospital. Mm-hmm. So money goes to a wide range of needs in our hospitals. It mm-hmm. certainly goes to paying for important equipment.
Oh, yeah.
That's things like NICU beds, some of those little, they're called giraffe beds, that are used for the preemies when they're born, mm-hmm. and are literally mechanical mother's wombs. Those are $80,000 a piece.
Good grief.
But they're remarkable life-saving pieces of equipment because they save today 90% of the kids that are born
That's
around
amazing.
A pound or greater. 10 years ago, most of those kids didn't make it, mm-hmm. but because they now have that technology and they have that care, we can save many of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly goes to medical equipment. It goes to a lot of goes some to uninsured care, mm-hmm. patients that can't afford a lot of. One of the things a lot of people don't understand is that they think Medicaid takes care of all that, but Medicaid only on average pays about 50% of the cost.
Really? I didn't know that.
Doesn't even cover. On average, the whole thing. So there's still a wide gap for a lot of kids who are in need of Medicaid care across our country.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it goes to the soft things that are ever so important that quite often we forget about. So things like Child Life services. Child Life provides everything from playrooms and play care to schooling for kids who are missing school,
mm-hmm.
Pain therapy. Which is often a distraction therapy. And while you may say, well, those are, you know, that's not the hardcore stuff, a lot of times it's the difference between healing and not healing for a child when they have, they have those services. Because one of the key things to healing for a child is for them not to feel that they're in a hospital.
Right.
But, and that they're not in a different environment from what they're used to at home. And so to the degree we can keep kids in that kind of an environment, they're more likely to heal quickly and heal completely.
Yeah.
So, those are just a host of things. Sometimes those funds are used to be able to do research. So everything from cancer research mm-hmm. to unique procedures and medical advances are also funded. And research quite often is something that doesn't get covered by the typical medical insurance or even completely by government funding.
Hmm. I did not. Wow, I didn't know. I mean, those are good things to know. Yeah, what doesn't get covered and what gets covered, and then where the money can go to help cover what doesn't get covered.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome. And you know, we raised as a system last year for North America $363 million, and that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's probably only about a fourth of the total need that's really out there. So
we have a ways to go.
We got a ways to go. We do, and we're excited because our fundraising year was also in total up 8% last mm-hmm. year. Those funds are needed. And one of the challenges we have in our country in particular, but also in Canada to some degree, is that the majority of our public doesn't either know or believe that their children's hospital is in any need of any financial support.
You're exactly right.
We did a Harris poll to confirm that, and two-thirds said, either I do not know or I don't believe that my children's hospital is in any need of financial support. So if you don't think that the need is there, mm-hmm. it's awfully hard to be in a position to want to give.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our mission has been around not only raising the money, but creating an awareness for the need for the money. Mm-hmm. We launched our first ever national campaign last year with Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yeah.
With a tagline of put your money where the miracles are, in an attempt to help educate everybody that their local children's hospital does indeed need financial support and giving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just saw a story today that Marie Osmond did some sort of announcement. I was in, I think it was in CUNA's publication. I can't remember the details of it. Went, oh my gosh, well, I'm interviewing John today. I should probably bring it up.
Yeah, she and John Snyder, of course, are our celebrity co-founders. Uh-huh. 34 years ago, they were instrumental in really creating this charity with the help of a few others, obviously, that put this together. And both of them stay very, very involved.
Mm-hmm.
We just had our annual meeting in Florida a week ago, and they were both there to help plug the cause and to help support. They do a great job for all of our partners, including our credit unions. They attend many of the events from wine auctions, golf tournaments, and other credit union fundraising and co-op events that they lend their celebrity power to help make the event bigger and help raise money.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, they've been at CUNA's GAC quite a few times in the past, and they always draw a big line of folks to come meet them, and then that allows them to pass on the word about what you guys are doing. So it's a pretty much a win-win, pardon the old cliche, on any type of level here. So what are some challenges that children's hospitals are facing today and could in the future?
Yeah, so we had a very interesting speaker at our meeting in Florida, John Watesha, and he is the president and CEO. I'm sorry, John, it's Mark Watesha, who's the president and CEO of the Children's Hospital Association. They really represent, kind of on a lobby and government basis, the needs of children's hospitals in the U.S., and he shared with us some pretty scary facts. I certainly shared with you the challenge that hospitals have that there's not an awareness for financial right. need. But let's talk for a moment about some of the trends that we see moving forward. So first of all, we know healthcare in our country is a big deal. It's expensive. Children's healthcare is up to 5 times more expensive for the exact same procedures than adult care. And if you think about it for a moment, it makes sense mm-hmm. because they come in all different sizes.
Yes, they do.
And they have some very unique and sometimes very tiny needs that require a greater expense. So they're more expensive than adult health care. The majority of the government dollar and support in our country does go to adult health care. We obviously have a growing and aging population that has a strong lobby in Washington mm-hmm. and is very successful in funding programs like Medicare, which all of us who are growing older certainly care about, but mm-hmm. it often comes at the expense of the Medicaid dollar, Graduate Medical Education Act, but dollars that that are really needed to help support children's hospitals. Mm-hmm. And so that's why philanthropy really plays an important role. We really have to come in and help provide public support or private sector support when it's not coming from the government public
right.
sector.
Yeah, you have a busy, busy job. You're a busy guy.
Yeah. It's a wonderful job.
Obviously, imagine.
We work with wonderful partners like credit unions. We work with wonderful hospitals. And probably my most favorite part is we get to work with these kids.
Yeah.
And I get the opportunity to meet thousands of them every year. And, you know, I guess the thing I would pass on about these kids that I think is unique and a valuable lesson for all of us, they are more positive than anybody else that I meet. And you think about the things that many of these kids have been through. Many of them have been through intense chemo cancer treatments. Many of them are dealing with lifetime disability as a result of birth defect or injury or other disease. But, you know, the challenges are enormous that at their age are having to deal with from a health standpoint. And yet, in spite of that, they are the happiest, most positive, can-do people, let alone kids, that I meet. And I always walk away from that experience thinking, I don't ever have a bad day compared to these kids, and yet they are so positive, and they just fight through it. And it is a remarkable privilege to be, you know, associated with them and to help raise money for them.
Yeah, it's a, we can learn a lot from those kids, definitely, definitely. And I know we are, my family, because my wife and I have five-year-old twin girls and teenagers, and so we are frequent flyer mileage at our local children's hospital here in San Diego, so we are well aware of the talent and all the equipment, all that type of stuff that that they house down there. So we are extremely thankful for all the donations, not only from the credit unions, but, you know, from all the other companies and organizations out there that help out. So, and again, the work that you guys do. So having said that, I mean, I know you guys have some ambitious goals coming up to continue this upward trend. What, can you tell us about them?
Well, our goals are based on the need. And I asked an important question when I started this job 5 years ago. And I have visited virtually all of our 170 hospitals and asked the same question. How much money do you need? How much more support is necessary for you to do the complete job that you need to do? And it's a scary number, both in terms of its size and its consistency. And what I heard was we need about 400% more, four times more in philanthropy than we are able to raise today. So with that goal in mind, in 2011, when we started this quest to really deliver what was needed for hospitals, we were raising around $230 million. And so roughly four times that is $1 billion a year. So our goal by 2022, which is an arbitrary but a meaningful date, it kind of represented a decade ahead of where we were in 2011, was to increase our fundraising 400% or fourfold. And, you know, we've had remarkable progress since that date. We've increased the annual fundraising amount by 56%.
That's
but, you know, at $360 million, there's still a sizable gap between that and a billion. So that's a very ambitious goal, but one that motivates us. And, you know, sometimes when you have a big goal that's like that, you sometimes start to think outside the box and come up with ideas and work with relationships that really unlock new avenues of fundraising. And that's kind of what we're seeing. And, you know, my goal and my vision and my passion for what I see across the credit union community is my understanding there's somewhere close to 100 million members of the credit union community. And if we could figure out how to raise just a dollar
from each, yeah,
that would be $100 million or 10% of the way there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. And it's a fairly easy thing to do, I would think. some plans are very difficult. But yeah, I mean, having said that, I think, gosh, you know, why not? You know, short of going knocking on Bill Gates' door, you know, I mean, I think that's a pretty attainable thing to do. It's just a buck from each member nationwide. That would be a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, and I'm convinced if every credit union member understood the need, and many do, but obviously the majority do not, but if they really understood the need, $1 from them every year would be a very, very small donation and a very small price to pay for an enormous amount of good, which at the end of the day impacts almost all of us. So either directly because our own children, or it's our grandchildren, or it's our neighbor's children, or it's our brother or sister's children, and so on and so forth. And my learning in this is that you don't have to go too many degrees of separation, at which point we all need those services. And when we do need them, we become incredibly passionate and grateful that they're available. But the other thought I would leave you with is it's clear in our country, given the issues that I've talked about, that if we don't provide the funding, there are a number of children's hospitals that literally will close their doors.
Gosh, I can't imagine.
So it's not just a matter of wouldn't it be nice if we had more money and if we had things. In some cases, it literally is the difference between physically keeping a hospital open and running it versus having to close the doors.
Good grief.
And fortunately, it's not our largest hospitals, and it's not the majority, but there are a number of them that serve, particularly in some of our smaller and medium-sized communities, mm-hmm. that where having those services in your community are incredibly valuable. So, you know, a lot of times if you have to travel 150, 200, 300 miles, that might be the difference between life and death.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I know our Children's Miracle, our Children's Hospital here is 15 minutes away, and we are so thankful that it's there. But I can't imagine somebody who has to travel, like you said, 100, 200, 300 miles to get to one. I mean, time is of the essence when it comes to this type of stuff. So very cool. All right, John, to wrap up here, how can credit unions continue to help out? How can we continue to step up? Like you, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said, if each member can give a buck, that would be a great start.
Yeah, I think that's a great challenge. And I think continuing to provide the wonderful level of support that you're providing. And certainly we're grateful, particularly this year, for the matching dollars that Co-op Services have provided. And just a shout out to Stan Holland, who I think many will know is retiring, who's been a great board member for us and an advocate that's really in great part responsible for a lot of the increases that credit unions have provided. But the other is certainly this awareness challenge. Credit unions can help us not only raising the money, but helping tell the story of why children's hospitals are in need of financial support. And so we have provided a lot of materials around Put Your Money Where the Miracles Are. Mm-hmm. And those are available through our website and our contact people that would allow any credit union during the campaign and or any time during the year to put up some of these materials in their credit union or to share in member newsletters or other opportunities where you're communicating with your members to just share this story that we need to tell, that our children's hospitals need help and that, no, Medicaid, insurance, and all those other things don't cover it all.
Right.
And we have a social responsibility to all step up and help fund and be a part of that. And I think those two things together from such a powerful and successful group of credit unions is going to be the thing that really helps us achieve that massive goal ahead of us.
I agree. And we will definitely help you get the word out to help achieve this. This is fantastic stuff, John. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to chat with us. Always appreciate it.